free no-obligation quote in less than 5 minutes. Call now and you can save up to 70%. Call 1-800-425-9912. That's 1-800-425-9912. 1-800-425-9912.
We all know healthcare has changed drastically. It's quite the puzzle to sort through your options and find a health insurance plan that's affordable and maximizes your benefits. And you're now required by law to have health insurance, or you may pay a tax penalty. So let the Health Markets Insurance Agency help you. They offer plans from over 120 different companies and can even help you obtain government subsidies. Let them do all the research for you and show you how affordable health insurance can be, a service that's at no extra cost to you. Call now and learn your options to find affordable health insurance. 800-608-1830. 800-608-1830, 800-608-1830, 800-608-1830.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is a DBA or assumed name of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc., which is a licensed insurance agency in all 50 states and D.C. Not all agents are licensed to sell all products. Service availability varies by state.
Forecasters say Arizona will be hit with major dust storms this year. Will you know what to do? Dust storms develop quickly and reduce visibility in just seconds. Any dust storm, large or small, can be dangerous for drivers. Will you know what to do? When a dust storm hits, pull aside, stay alive. Pull completely off the roadway, turn off your lights, wait for the storm to pass. Learn more at pullasidestayalive.org.
Sponsored by ADOT, in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Steve Durich here, capped or uncapped? Hypothetical illustration or guaranteed level. Some annuity salespeople might have you believe that you're forced to choose between an annuity with a capped index strategy or an uncapped one. That's false. When you choose the right annuity, you have your choice of either or in the same annuity. That's why I compare up to 2,700 annuities to find you the best combination of income, accumulation potential, death benefit, ratings, and rider choices. I'll guide you personally and help you finally figure out the annuity puzzle. So don't leave your retirement in jeopardy. Let's get together soon.
Money Radio listeners are making the move to IQ Wealth. Find out why. Learn how to build your retirement with verified research, comprehensive comparison, and a fiduciary duty. Call 480-902-3333. 480-902-3333. Investment advisory services by IQ Wealth Advisory LLC, a registered investment advisor. Guarantees rely on the financial strength of the insurer, so compare with Steve and visit IQWealth.com.
Every 15 seconds, a burglary occurs in America. Most happen between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. when you're not at home. What if a burglar targeted your home? That would be bad news. So call ADT now and learn how your entire home can be protected from burglary, fire, and more. Protect your home. Your ADT authorized dealer offers you protection 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Don't get robbed. Protect your home right now. Call now and learn for free what it will cost to protect your home. Call right now. 800-708-3093. Remember, 800-708-3093. There are people out there right now ready to rob you. Protect yourself right now. Call Protect Your Home right now and get a free quote. 800-708-3093. Remember, 800-708-3093.
This show is brought to you by Discount Tire. Your low-price journey starts at Discount Tire.
The information and opinions expressed in this broadcast are intended to address specific questions asked or situations described on this program and are not designed to constitute advice or recommendations as to any disease, ailment, or physical condition. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in this broadcast without seeking the advice of your personal physician. If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed during this broadcast, please contact your doctor.
Good afternoon, Arizona. It's time for Doctor Talk with Dr. Belinda Barclay-White, a board-certified radiologist who specializes in breast imaging and breast-related issues, and Dr. Carrie Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. This show is about your health care, your well-being, and your life. Get the latest information in healthcare and answers to your questions from nationally recognized physicians and healthcare experts. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, it's time for Dr. Talk with hosts Dr. Barclay White and Dr. Bordinko.
Welcome to another episode on Saturday of Dr. Talk. I'm here in the studio today with my co-host, Dr. Belinda Barclay-White, and our special guest today is Dr. Michael Yasinski, who is a board-certified psychiatrist here in the Scottsdale area, who's going to talk on a very difficult subject today, Belinda. This is about addiction and detox for both alcohol and other substances, which is something that no one wants to talk about. We certainly don't talk about it around the dinner table if we can avoid it, but it affects many families across the U.S. We live in a high-stress, high-paced environment, and unfortunately, this seems to go along with that lifestyle. So, tough topic today to bring out to our listeners.
A very tough topic. And, you know, I think you and I have talked a lot about drinking at home and that glass of wine at night, and, you know,
which is routine for most families.
It is actually routine for most families. But I think the new parameters for definition of an alcoholic is more than one glass of wine or glass of spirits or beer nightly for women 7 days a week, and two glasses of the same for men, which is so much lower than you ever imagine as being defined as alcoholic. It's sort of really quite scary.
Yeah, this is a big paradigm shift for a lot of people and a lot of listeners. And even in the medical community, even physicians, I think, are confused by the shift of defining alcoholism or defining addictions. You know, the show is not going to just be about alcohol, but addictions as a whole. And I think that what we're moving towards is not so much putting a quantity amount. I know Dr. Yasinski is going to enlighten us on really what is that magic quantity, and we're going to find out there isn't one. But when it impairs the function of your life, it impairs you going to work, it impairs the relationships that you're having in the home, or your ability to address and deal with other stressors. That's really the definition of being an addict, and that's got such a bad media image, I think, that comes to a lot of us as well, you know, from what the typical media paints. And I think that also makes it difficult to reach out and get the help.
Absolutely. And even more so when it involves our children and, you know, the binge drinking that goes on amongst our children from a very young age. I mean, how, you know, where is this all going? It's very scary.
So today's show, what we really want to try and help do is start the conversation about a difficult topic and give our listeners some tools on where they can reach out, some of the early steps they can go to get help if it's affecting themselves, if they're identifying that, or if it's a close family member or a coworker and they want to try and help that person get assistance. So Dr. Yasinski is here in the studio today, and he's going to kind of bring some of those medical mysteries to the forefront and talk about some of the treatment options. But first, let me tell our listeners a little bit about Dr. Yasinski and why we brought him in today. So Dr. Yasinski, once again, board certified in psychiatry with a specialty in addiction medicine as well. He has his Bachelor of Science in Finance from Arizona State University. He has his Doctor of Medicine from the University of Arizona College of Medicine. And then he went on to do a 4-year psychiatric residency program at Ohio State. And he is a diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology. So this is a person who's gone through a lot of years to try and help us understand what addiction means. And Michael, we thank you for having you in the studio today.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, welcome. So let's start off with a really basic question. How do we identify an addict, either in ourselves or in our families or friends?
And what you guys mentioned, I guess I get a little frustrated with these trying to quantify drinks. I don't know, every 6 months it seems like they're pushing a drink's good, no, a drink's bad, no, it's two drinks and you're an alcoholic.
It prevents heart disease if you drink red wine every
night. I can't keep up half the time with the medical benefits or not benefits. So, I mean, you can imagine people coming in. So what's stood the test of time as we've gone through now, you know, 5 revisions of our psychiatric manual and multiple definitions is really focusing on whether or not you ask yourself at the end of the day or you look at someone and you honestly can say it's not affecting my life or my functioning of my life or my relationships or my ability to engage in the world and how I really want to engage in, if it's affecting that, then you probably have a problem. If you can really ask yourself and answer those honestly, or look at someone and say, really, they're not doing any of that, then you probably don't have an addiction. So I don't think it's at all quantifiable in terms of number of drinks. It's so specific to the situation.
And is there a gene for addiction, either alcoholic or any other addiction? You know, we say it runs in families, but is that really environmental or is that a genetic?
No, there's certainly multiple now identified genetic markers for addiction in general. So huge genetic component, but then of course the environmental component, not only habitually watching people engage in addicts, but the chaos that comes with addicts induces chaos, and thus chaos typically is another factor, a risk factor for engaging in using. So it's just a trifecta almost of issues that put you at risk for being an addict.
And is it true that it can skip generations? I know that goes back to the gene versus the environmental, but how much is that influenced? So do you see it common that this is passed down generation to generation, or it jumps around?
I mean, I've seen it in some family members and not in others. I think it's so difficult to tease out the environmental factor, whether or not one's ever put in the right set of the perfect storm to kind of activate, if you will, that genetic piece from actually going in full storm and being an addict. But I've seen it skip generations, certainly.
Do people tend to abuse the same substance that they're exposed to by their parents? So, I mean, will an alcoholic beget an alcoholic necessarily? Or is it substance agnostic? They have an addiction where they need to feel a euphoria, so they'll find any escape they can. Because obviously we've got marijuana on the forefront of a lot of legislation. A lot of states are making it legal. So it's becoming a drug of choice just like alcohol. But I think in the newer generation, it's becoming more prevalent.
Yeah, from a purely biological standpoint, genetic predisposition, there's actually very different types of addicts. So the opiate brain, for example, the alcohol or sedative brain, very different. But then when you factor in the environmental piece, you know, you can definitely have an alcoholic father that you're still at risk, at a higher risk to have addictions for other things, you know, but it's a complex set. So there's no rules in that. You can have the same or different addictions as your parents or your grandparents, or they can be different.
So but there is a genetic difference between an alcoholic addiction maybe and an opiate addiction.
Correct. There's different biomarkers for those, or different ways those present throughout life, certainly. Because you get different feel, you know, some people, opiates feel a certain way and induce a certain type of euphoria, and that gets passed on versus, you know, an alcoholic brain. I usually see two different kind of presentations of types of brains in terms of opiates versus sedatives, for example.
Interesting.
Great information to lead off the first segment on such a tough topic. So we're here today in the studio with Dr. Michael Yasinski and my co-host, Dr. Belinda Barclay-White. We're talking about drugs and addiction, and coming back from the break, we're going to have a lot more details as to how you can reach out, find help, some of the new medications that are out there on the forefront to help you get over a very difficult time. And also, what are some of the alternatives to using medications for getting off of substances? So we appreciate your time today on Dr. Talk. We will be back right after the break.
Dread having your annual screening mammogram? For a totally different experience, give Arizona BreastNet a call. Our all-female staff provides you with years of expertise and immediate results in a clean, state-of-the-art, spa-like facility that respects your mind, your body, and your time. If, on the other hand, you have a new breast lump or breast-related finding, call Arizona BreastNet today for an immediate appointment and consultation with a doctor who will give you your results at the time of your visit. At Arizona BreastNet, you will never have to wonder, worry, or wait. Get your results today and call 480-314-7600. That's 480-314-7600. For an immediate appointment, or you can visit us online at breastnet.net for more information.
When you're driving down the road, the last thing you want to think about is tires. Trust Discount Tire to get you up to speed with the right tire for your vehicle. We carry the world's best brands of tires, all at everyday low prices. At Discount Tire, we're not just about tires, we're about people. We'll get you the right tire for your vehicle to help keep you safe on the road. Stop by any Discount Tire store for a free air pressure and tire safety check. Your low price journey starts here. Discount Tire.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
So welcome back to Dr. Talk. We're talking to Dr. Michael Yasinski, and today's topic is drug abuse, addiction, and how we proceed when we have identified someone that may have that problem. So, Michael, what is the first thing? We've identified a family member, a close friend. How do we proceed? How do we get this person help?
Well, I think the first step is to start out and really figure out what type of addiction they have. I think there's something, we'll talk about alcohol for a minute, heavy drinkers versus true alcoholic, or a lot of addicts call it drunks. They're people that, the true alcoholics are people that have a lot of chaos surrounding their life that also use substances, versus heavy drinkers are people that maybe have a little less chaos but engage in a lot of drinking. So there's two basic options I guess we can go into. Is one is a abstinence type of program, which means stopping drinking and engaging in the help relating to abstinence, and I can talk about that. And there's some other options that we can talk about that include not stopping drinking completely, and then that's a whole different procedure.
And the abstinence programs that you're referring to are what I think a lot of listeners may know as Alcoholics Anonymous or even Narcotics Anonymous, where they go through a 12-step program to actually come off a substance, correct?
Well, so just to clarify, so those are 12-step programs. There's also other non-12-step programs, such as Smart Recovery, for example, that are abstinence, meaning no drinking, but different than 12-step. So in terms of it, what to engage in, I think the first step is getting them safely off of the drug, or if it's alcohol. Alcohol withdrawal or sedative withdrawal can be life-threatening, so you have to engage in a safe, proper detox to get off of the substance if your goal is to get off of it under the care of a doctor or in a treatment facility. People shouldn't be stopping drinking or using drugs on their own because it can be life-threatening, so that's the first step. Once they're sober, for example, when I treat someone and we get them sober, meaning off of the substance safely, then we ask, do you want to be in a program that's 12-step related, and I go through that, and that's one type of program, or do you prefer other programs, and I give them the variety. So that's kind of the second step in engagement, getting into a program and working the program, as people tend to call it.
So getting them off the alcohol or the substance involves other substances, right? So how do you start? And you're saying that can be done as an inpatient, or can it also be done as an outpatient?
So there's kind of two types. So it's alcohol and sedatives, basically, which include barbiturates, benzodiazepines, and alcohol, require some type of medical medication taper, such as using other benzodiazepines like Valium, for example, to safely, over the course of 3 to 7 days, decrease the amount of medication you give them to safely taper them. Traditionally, that's done in a hospital or a treatment center. I personally offer a home detox program. I'm trained in doing this in the comfort of their own home. So I monitor things like blood pressure, subjective symptoms like shaking or trembling, that kind of thing, have someone with them to help monitor. And I give them a taper just like they would in a hospital. But essentially, it's the same thing. It's monitoring them for safety and then giving them the appropriate medication. The other types of medicine, like opiates, heroin, pain pills, those require a different type of medication. They're not life-threatening necessarily, but very uncomfortable. And we use more comfort medications to help them tolerate the withdrawal, even though they don't necessarily have as severe of a risk of something happening to them.
And because we've touched on the dangers of trying to self-detox, I think so. You were describing, what are some of the warning signs our listeners could notice if a family member is trying to self-detox? When should they raise the red flag and call a medical personnel to intervene?
Well, I think if it's alcohol or sedatives, which are the most common, would be obviously shaking or trembling of the body, just getting very irritable if they're known to drink and they're not typically irritable. Irritability is kind of one of the first signs someone's starting to progress off the alcohol. Next comes the shakes or the trembling typically. And by day 3 or 4, that's when you're at risk for things like seizures and what we call DTs, which is specifically a cognitive decline, a confusion, where you're at risk to have serious autonomic problems, like your blood pressure can be erratic, and that's when you're at risk for actually potentially dying or having a seizure. So irritability and shakiness or trembling are probably the most recognizable.
So how many drinks do you have to be drinking to have these symptoms? I mean, if I stop drinking my one glass of wine a night, am I going to start having symptoms?
Now, you'd be surprised. I think that's the hardest part when I go into someone's home and I often see a woman who's drinking, you know, a bottle of wine, for example. That's a pretty common scenario. Or I see a man drinking 2/5 or 2 bottles of vodka, for example. And yet I've seen equally bad withdrawal symptoms. So one, women and men are different. So you have to take that into account. Women, a little bit less is required because they have some special characteristics of how they break it down and such. So they don't require as much and yet can still have pretty severe withdrawal symptoms. And, you know, some is tolerance, depending on how many years you've been on it, how much you drink, your sex, male or female, other drugs you might be taking, family history. I mean, so many components go into it. So there is no way to safely gauge. Even if you're on a couple drinks, it's better to check with somebody, because I've seen severe withdrawal symptoms from a few drinks before.
Wow.
I know, it's a lot less than what we probably think.
So. Really?
And that's common. People call me like, well, I don't think I need detox, but I want to get into treatment. And so I have to evaluate that. And really, you can't judge that or know that unless, and I do this and I still have a hard time. There's a little bit of guesswork knowing that based on how they respond, like how their blood pressure responds, how they feel after a day of not drinking helps me gauge how severe it is. But yes, nobody can really predict based on number of drinks.
And a lot of people have very busy lives. They may have an addiction problem, but they're still functioning. They're still going to work. They're still holding down the job or supporting the entire family. So just the idea of having to go through detox, you know, that terminology of losing income, potentially losing a position at work, how much is invested in that for them? I mean, is this I think you alluded to maybe a 7-day process. Is it much longer? Can they still stay functional in their daily lives and go through detox?
Typically, the first 2 days you're not going to be working by day 3 if you're doing it properly and you're doing it with me, for example, or on the right medications. By day 3, you can typically be functioning. Do I have time to tell a story about the addiction piece? No? Okay. So, yes, let me regroup. I'll say, so the first couple of days, if I do it with them, they'll have to be at home after that. They can get back to light functioning and don't necessarily have to miss work completely. But I obviously recommend a lightened load. But I mean, I think it's a week investment to really do this properly.
All right, so we're here with Dr. Michael Yasinski, a board-certified psychiatrist who's helping us understand addiction and how to go through a detox program safely and securely, even in opportunity in your own home. So when we come back from the break, we're going to have more information on options that are available in your community for detox. We thank you for joining Dr. Talk Radio.
break for an update on the latest news from around the world on NBC from Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Rob Schmidt. American journalist Luke Summers and another hostage were shot during a U.S. operation to free them from al-Qaeda militants in Yemen. NBC's Kristen Welker is at the White House.
President Obama felt it was the right decision to try to rescue Summers because the administration believes that it had reliable and credible intelligence to suggest that he would have been executed today.
U.S. officials say both hostages died of gunshot wounds after American forces pulled them from the militants' compound. A 44-year-old man is being charged with attempted murder after stabbing an Amtrak conductor and three other people in southwestern Michigan.
I saw him bring his fist back up, and I noticed that there was something in his fist resembling a knife blade or something, and I saw him bring it back down.
Amtrak passenger Caitlin Chipri was on the Amtrak train heading from Chicago to Michigan. The suspect is now in custody. The victims are in stable condition at a local hospital. This is NBC News Radio.
Imagine a store that lets you get the things you wanted, how you wanted. Don't want to use your credit? Don't. Don't have credit? Don't worry. Want to set up a payment plan around your paydates so you're never short on cash? It's up to you. Imagine payments that fit your budget, your schedule, your life. That's Rent-A-Center. Imagine that. No credit needed. Flexible payment plan scheduled around your needs. Imagine new possibilities at Rent-A-Center. Rental purchase transactions. See store for details.
If you've been looking for Pandora jewelry, look no further. You'll find it at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora charms, bracelets, and rings available at Jared. Jared has an outstanding Pandora collection. Visit Jared starting December 1st and receive a free Pandora white porcelain sleigh ornament with white gold accents for your tree with your Pandora purchase of $125 or more. See store for details.
This show is brought to you by Discount Tire. We carry the best selection of tires and wheels at everyday low prices.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
So welcome back to Dr. Talk. We have in the studio with us Dr. Yasinski, who is talking about alcohol and drug abuse and withdrawal. Just before we came into the break, you were beginning to tell a story that would sort of illustrate what we were talking about and in what it takes to detox and whether you can still function, go to work, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so I think this people might be able to relate to this a little bit better. So I think we can all see someone who comes home and gets a DUI and is drinking the night away, doesn't work, doesn't function. That's a little more obvious. But probably the more common scene and a conversation I literally had, you know, within the last couple of days with someone I've been working with for the last year and a half on a lot of anxiety and panic and depression that just has been unremitting and what I've considered difficult to treat or kind of treatment resistant to traditional therapies. But this whole time he's been drinking on and off, and again, it's, you know, a few drinks a few times a week, maybe something like that. Nothing a lot of people would see as severe, but a very common scenario. He always came in and said, you know, I've never had a DUI. When I confronted him on, you know, I think you might have alcoholism, and he's like, well, I've never had a DUI. I've never, you know, gotten in trouble with the police. I support my family. I own a business. He's successful. But we explore the pattern of, well, then, you know, why is your anxiety and why is your depression and why are all these really bothersome, you know, problems that he's been really struggling with not going away? And we've really identified the core pattern is the kind of erratic behavior of drinking can really induce a lot of depression and mental illness that people don't understand is very tied to alcoholism. So if you have anxiety or if you have poor motivation or depression or anything like that, and you're drinking, then if it's causing some kind of negative impact on your quality of life and your ability to get well mentally doesn't matter if you haven't had legal problems and you still work. It means it's causing a functional problem in your life. And he, you know, with him, we're now, he's now recognized that and accepted that. But I think the word alcoholic or addict, really, everyone thinks of that very kind of specific scenario, and it doesn't have to be that way. So
yeah, it's very shocking. It's a sort of label that everyone definitely drags.
We need another word. I really think, you know, it'd be great if we had another word that necessarily it's any better, but it's just a different kind. You know, it just that prevents a lot of people from accepting help, and that's my biggest barrier. Is I can't get people better that don't understand that even drinking a few times a week can be extremely, extremely problematic in fixing their underlying mental illness.
So you brought up an interesting point. Is it that an anxious person or a depressed person tends to drink to deal with the anxiety and the depression, or does drinking make them more anxious and more depressed?
Both ways apply. So, and that's yes. that's the cycle, right? Is it can go either way. So either way, the cycle is propagated. And at the end of the day, the drinking is making it almost impossible to treat the depression and anxiety, just biochemically, let alone the actual bad habits that come along with the drinking, like interfering with your marriage or your relationships and such. So the whole cycle, it just really leads to a difficult time treating these people.
And also, I think a lot of people get into drinking, or we could just say substances as a whole, just because it's a matter of routine. I come home at the end of the day, it's socially what we do in our family, it's how I was raised. And so I think it's just really hard to break what you know is normal. So are there some ideas that you have out there, you can throw out there for our listeners on other things that they can do to replace the alcoholic beverage at night when they get home to wind down? Is there some tricks that you kind of give your patients to help them deter away from that habit?
You know, the thing I tell everyone is you can't come home and expect to sit in your favorite chair and watch your favorite show you always drank with a bottle of Sprite. Or a bottle of whatever, because that you're so conditioned, meaning you've associated the good feelings, euphoric feelings of alcohol or drugs with that chair and the sofa and that time frame, that you're never going to be able to get sober doing that. So whatever your routine is, you know, whatever specifics it is, it has to be pretty different than whatever you did when you drank. So if you came home after work and had a beer and watched TV, then probably you have to not be home and going to do something like exercising out of the house and kind of get rid of that entire block of time that you would typically drink. So mixing up your routine, not just replacing the beverage and then, you know, going through the same motions as you did with the drink, for example.
And I think a lot of people do really encourage exercise as that way to change up those habits from any substance, because it does do it completely what you're saying. It breaks that routine up. You start something totally new. Plus, you get a natural endorphin release from the exercise, which can kind of help replace that euphoria
exactly.
or that disconnection maybe that you had from the substance as well. So I'm sure that's something you do a lot of counseling on as well, is to try and help them get engaged in an activity.
This would be, I don't know, there's a specific, I guess, a method that deals with this. Is there's something, an alternative method to treatment, which is called the Sinclair method. It's a non-United States-based kind of trend that really we don't get educated on here, but it works on the premise is it takes a medication called naltrexone, which essentially blocks your brain from feeling the euphoric effects of drugs and alcohol. And instead of saying, put down the alcohol and stop drinking and kind of do all these things, it says, continue drinking, don't change your pattern, but start taking this medication every time you drink. So you take it every day, or every time you're going to drink, you drink like you normally would. And what the goal is for dissociation of that euphoria from the alcohol. So you're deconditioning, is what we call it, somebody from drinking and feeling anything. So they drink and they don't get euphoric anymore. And the thought is enough of that conditions them to no longer desire to drink because they're not getting any euphoria out of it. So that's a alternative method of treatment that's not seen a lot here in the U.S., but I offer it. I think it's effective for the right person.
So what they're left with is the negative effects of drinking. So the hangover the next day, the GI distress, the just overall not feeling good without any of the benefit.
Right. So you're conditioning a lot of bad things, and then that's the premise of the program, and it works well.
Does it actually... Can the alcohol still affect you? I mean, do you still feel drunk, or does the what is it called?
Naltrexone, or Vivitrol is the monthly injectable form.
Okay, all right, that's the one I've heard about. So does it actually stop you feeling drunk? Or do you still feel drunk but just not as happy about it?
So a comparison would be to something called anabuse, which would be a more classic medicine. When you drink, that would block some of the, you know, the paths of metabolism that would actually make you sick when you drink. This doesn't make you sick. You can still be impaired, but you don't feel the euphoria. So you can still be drunk, but more like Dr. Bordenko said, is some of the negative things like dizzy, falling over, you know, uncoordinated, but you're not happy. So you're getting all the bad stuff. So your brain starts to think, okay, beer or alcohol and total disaster with no benefit whatsoever, plus the hangover. That, you know, you can see why that might start to help condition, as we call it, people to not want to drink anymore. So that those are two kind of different medications, the antabuse and then the naltrexone is an example.
So how long would you have to have someone on that naltrexone to have an effect? I mean, is it like 21 days and then the habit's gone, or?
Well, there's actually a pretty complex strategy, but the main two pieces are one is it's a goal over weeks to months to lower their alcohol use with the intention of stopping, and you over time they don't desire as much because they're not getting euphoric. The other one is almost a maintenance, almost prevention, harm reduction strategy, almost like methadone is for opiates, in terms of you take it every time you drink with no intention of stopping because you know you're not going to drink as much because you don't get the euphoria. So you can engage in a couple drinks, and maybe you're someone who normally would have drank 10. You'll stop at 3 because you're not getting euphoric, but there's no goal of stopping. It's just a harm reduction strategy for them by doing drinking less, meaning less chaos in their life, essentially.
So, yes, and that to me seems a little less sort of frightening than the so-called 12-step program where you're going to go in and you're never going to drink again. I can see how that might appeal to people.
I often start with that, and then you'd be surprised people realize they don't want to be controlled by the alcohol, but that's a great in to be like, hey, you don't have to stop drinking. Here's a great strategy. But then as they mature and they understand, you slip in the benefits of abstinence and then kind of get it through the back door instead of trying to shove it down their throats initially, the abstinence. So lots of techniques.
Lots of techniques, lots of really good information on a somewhat scary topic. So
yes.
When we come back with Dr. Yasinski, we're going to go deeper into the options for alcohol and substance detox and also talk about the long-term recovery process. Thank you for joining Dr. Talk.
When you're driving down the road, the last thing you want to think about is tires. Trust Discount Tire to get you up to speed with the right tire for your vehicle. We carry the world's best brands of tires, all at everyday low prices. At Discount Tire, we're not just about tires, we're about people. We'll get you the right tire for your vehicle to help keep you safe on the road. Stop by any Discount Tire store for a free air pressure and tire safety check. Your low price journey starts here. Discount Tire.
Join board-certified and personal physician Dr. Carrie Bordenko every Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. on Money Radio 1510 a.m. and 99.3 FM for Dr. Talk, where we put healthcare back in your hands. Each week, we'll have a full panel of nationally known medical experts as guest speakers, taking an in-depth look at the issues that affect us all and matter most. Tune in this Saturday at 1 p.m. for Dr. Talk.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordenko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordenko and Dr. Barclay White.
Welcome back to Dr. Talk. We're here in the studio today with Dr. Michael Yasinski, who is a board-certified psychiatrist, helping us understand more about addiction and detox programs. And when we left the last segment, we were talking about one of the more common drugs. I think it might even be advertised in some programs on TV, the naltrexone. But there's a lot of resources in your arsenal that you can help people get through this very difficult time. Can you give us some more ideas on some other options?
Sure. So let me do a quick recap of the addiction piece, and you know, in terms of the medication, so people don't get confused, because it does get very confusing sometimes. So first step is recognizing, do you need detox? That type of medication are things like Valium or Ativan. Those are detox medication to get you off of things like alcohol or sedatives. That would be step one. Step two, once that is done, those medications are gone, you look at relapse prevention medication. So there's three mainstream relapse prevention, meaning they help you stay away from relapse. So in addition to working your 12-step program or your non-12-step program, you want to stay abstinent off alcohol. There's three medications that can help with that. One is the naltrexone, which is a daily oral tablet. It comes in a monthly injectable called Vivitrol. Same deal. It blocks the euphoric feeling in your brain of alcohol, and also helps cut down cravings. So that will help you cut down cravings potentially to help stay away from alcohol. There's antabuse, which is the oldest of the three, which means when you drink, if you relapse and you drink, you get violently sick, and the hope is it deters you from drinking again. The third one, which is newer, a little bit newer, is acamprosate, or the brand name is Camperol. Again, it acts centrally in the brain to reduce cravings. So it doesn't make you sick, but it helps you with the cravings. The only caveat to all this is the naltrexone that I mentioned. It can be used in a different way if you are not interested in stopping altogether and you want to try something different, which is called the Sinclair method. It has a different use. So traditionally, relapse prevention helps with cravings, but can be used in an alternative way as well if you're not someone that's ready to give up drinking altogether.
And all of these medications that you're talking about obviously require a physician to be involved in your care, but I would think that there's got to be some component of psychological counseling that's going along with this as well.
Yeah, the three biggest things are the physician to help with the, you know, medical piece of it, a program to help with the support, the working the steps, et cetera. And then the third is the psychological piece to fix the underlying psychological problems that are often or almost always there with addiction.
So I'm sure these drugs have their own set of side effects, right? Can you talk about that a little bit? What would people be frightened about taking these drugs?
Sure. So all of them can cause, you know, a little bit of GI upset, and we have to monitor liver enzymes sometimes, and kind of basic stuff like that. They're actually pretty well tolerated. The downside of naltrexone, which is why I think you have to work with someone very experienced, because it can be used in a blanket way almost from inexperienced clinicians. But keep in mind that doesn't only block the euphoria from alcohol, but it blocks your ability to feel euphoric from your natural endorphins as well. So you can start to really struggle with fighting a depression because you can't feel the good feelings and pleasures along with healthy living either. So as you're striving to live a healthy life and get a healthy type of stimulation, that can actually block that and cause some issues with depression. So not a side effect per se, but something that's clinically relevant and important to talk to, because so many people, their addicts struggle with depression already, but it's so vastly overlooked. I see lots of people sent to me that are just put on this because they're an alcoholic with no conceptualization that their depression was the core issue, and then you're worsening their depression. So, you know, you really need to work. The advice is to work with someone who's familiar on all levels and all aspects of these meds, not just what, you know, the exact study is for this one usage.
One thing I want to make sure we also talk about with our listeners is, you know, we're spending a lot of time focusing on the addiction and how to get over that. But I want to also make sure we offer some advice to the family members that may be involved with someone who is an addict, but isn't at a point in their life where they want to reach out and get help. So what advice can we offer to those family members to help them survive this tough time?
Yeah, I just had a family of a child who's now homeless, a teenager, grew up in Scottsdale, did well, started using heroin, is now homeless, and the parents are very upset. And this is a common scenario where family members want to engage and fix. And this family particularly locked this kid in his room in high school, put a put a tracker on him, et cetera, and he still ended up on the streets using. And I think that illustrates that you can't always control or force someone to get treatment. And sometimes they have to hit their own rock bottom. But I guess two things I can kind of give you as advice for families I talk to is, one, everyone's rock bottom is different. So keeping in mind that what you perceive as rock bottom isn't necessarily what the person struggling with is seeing as rock bottom, and keeping that in mind. And two, really working with someone who's experienced to try to look at kind of what's the psychological drive of the person you're concerned's addiction, because it's so customized in every case. In this particular case, the family was doing everything to control this child, and this child was essentially, he was adopted and he had issues with control his whole life, and he was feeling smothered by this and wanted to use more. So understanding the psychological drive by working with someone who gets that piece of it, because it has to be incorporated into a strategy by the families. Otherwise, you're just going to push them to continue to want to essentially rebel and use if you're not doing it correctly. So those would probably be my two biggest tips I give families or try to work with them on. Mm.
So hopefully if you're in a situation like this, or if you know someone, a coworker or a family member, you know, they have resources through their health insurance plan. They can reach out. Not a lot of coverage, I think, with today's system, but I mean, maybe a start. But there's some not-for-profit organizations out there, I believe, also that people can turn to or reach out to. We talked earlier about the 12-step program and Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. Those are free for anyone who wants to go out. And I believe also they have support groups specific for family members to reach out. Is that correct?
Yeah, they have both. I say anyone, if you just want a first step, honestly, showing up to an AA meeting or talking to your doctor and getting a good one. The two things about that is it's important to find a meeting that really fits you. So I really put people in touch with others that go to meetings that I know would fit them. So whether or not you're a business person, you want to be around other people, or an athlete or a musician, get into one that fits you. And then you meet such a good network that, you know, a ton of resources will open up for you, that whether financial situation is limited or not, you're going to find resources. But I honestly, I think that's often the best start, to just look, even an online meeting, they have them online, just go on, ask questions, and that is a free resource. So that's what I would recommend.
So other than, you know, when it's maybe affecting our children, this has to be voluntary, right? You can do nothing about someone that just doesn't want to be there. Is that right?
Yes, there's no effective way, and there's no legal action. There's no way that actually does anything. It all has to be derived from someone wanting to get help on some level or reaching out on some level. They don't have to be committed to doing every piece of a program, but they have to be asking for some type of help for it to be effective. And in Arizona and most states, there is no, you know, legal way to force someone into treatment, which is another common question I get, no matter how reckless they are, unless they're, you know, they have other stuff going on outside the addiction, but nothing for just getting somebody treatment against their will.
That's a really difficult concept. I get that a lot, obviously, in my practice as well. If a family member reaches out and says, I really need you, you know, to force this individual to see,
yes,
my way, it doesn't exist. And that's really difficult for a family member to hear, is that we as physicians, as much as we want to help this person and guide them to the right resources, we can't make them do that. And we can't, like you said, define their rock bottom. And I think that's really hard for a family member to hear on the show and to, you know, to experience themselves as well. So, you know, in the last minute we have or so for this segment, are there any other resources you can help our listeners either go to the internet or phone numbers that they can call that will help them have a support system where they can reach out and get more advice?
You know, I think AA or Al-Anon are the best two resources out there, or, you know, go have the parents or the family go see a addiction specialist and talk to them, because I'll just touch on this again for families, because I think it's the key, is so much of addiction is about a control issue with the person. Their life is out of control in so many ways, and the substance represents a means to control their lives. So taking strategies which try to take over that control from them is just the worst thing you can do. So how you go about it is totally the way you're going to maximize getting that person help. So go to someone who's experienced as a family before you bring in whoever it is that you're worried about. Get the right strategy, and you'll be a million miles ahead just doing that. And get online, and, you know, tons of information there if you want to look at that too.
And those are great parting comments from Dr. Michael Yasinski, board certified in psychiatry and addiction detox medicine. We appreciate you being in the studio today for another episode of Dr. Talk, and we appreciate our listeners joining us every Saturday for more information on how to improve your health, your wellness, and your life. Join us on Facebook, facebook.com/Dr. Talk.
You've been listening to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. If you missed any part of this show, please go to moneyradio.com and listen to the audio archive. For additional information or to have your questions answered live on the air, send an email to drtalkaz@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in to Dr. Talk this and every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM. The information and opinions expressed in this broadcast are intended to address specific questions asked or situations described on this program and are not designed to constitute advice or recommendations as to any disease, ailment, or physical condition. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in this broadcast without seeking the advice of your personal physician. If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed during this broadcast, please contact your doctor. If you've recently made the switch to Money Radio, first, thank you. And second, we'll work hard to keep you with us as we talk about all things relating to money. We want you to make more of it and then keep it for whatever. There's more advice on the way from Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
Counting TV viewers, this is the Dow Jones Money Report. I'm Tom Ortuso. 40% of the nation's households subscribe to a streaming video service. And logic tells us that if you're watching streaming video, you're not watching traditional TV. But until now, there's been no way to measure viewership on Netflix, Amazon Prime, or other internet-based services. That's all changing. Nielsen has new technology that analyzes the audio from a TV set to determine which show is being streamed. The new system does not require the cooperation of the streaming providers. The new data could have a big impact, offering solid information on how time spent on streaming services is eating into traditional TV viewing. Television executives have mostly played down the notion that Netflix and other streaming services siphon away viewers. Nielsen's technology still only covers programming viewed on conventional TV sets. The company is working on a way to track the amount of subscription video watched on computers and mobile devices. I'm Tom Ortuso with the Dow Jones Money Report.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Hey, Mom, are you coming to dance class tonight?
Daddy is. Mommy has to work.
Okay, cool.
My husband and I share everything. Cooking, cleaning, childcare. We have to. We couldn't make ends meet without two incomes, and that kept us worried. We knew if something happened to either one of us, the rest of the family could be in big trouble financially. But we kept putting off getting life insurance because we thought it would be too expensive. Then we found AIG Direct. We were surprised to find that through AIG Direct, a $250,000 policy is less than $14 a month. Now we're protected with AIG, and that feels good.
Helping to protect your family through AIG Direct is fast, easy, and incredibly affordable. Call AIG Direct now and get a free no-obligation quote in less than 5 minutes. Call now and you can save up to 70%. Call 1-800-425-9912. That's 1-800-425-9912. 1-800-425-9912.
Forecasters say Arizona will be hit with major dust storms this year. Will you know what to do? Dust storms develop quickly and reduce visibility in just seconds. Any dust storm, large or small, can be dangerous for drivers. Will you know what to do? When a dust storm hits, pull aside, stay alive. Pull completely off the roadway, turn off your lights, wait for the storm to pass. Learn more at pullasidestayalive.org.
Sponsored by ADOT, in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Man, last night we put on an epic light show.
So epic.
The crowd loved us.
Wait, there were only four people out there.
Yeah, but did you see their four faces? Their eyes lit up brighter than ours, and we're fireflies.
Yeah, we are.
And we're going to be out here rocking out our light show at a forest near you. So come check us out.
Check us out.
Whether you're rocking their world or they're rocking yours, some memories never fade. Come alive with the forest. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
January 10th.
Everyone will be out for blood. It's the biggest lineup of competitors ever at the gate. Monster Energy AMA Supercross and FIM World Championship. Brought to you locally by Chuck Franklin Law. See Eli Tomac, Davey Millsaps, Ken Roxon, Justin Barsha, Trey Kennard, Ryan Dungey, and Chad Reed. Kids seats start at just $10 and credit seats are just $15. Get tickets at Ticketmaster. All seats $5 more damn show additional fee supply. January 10th, Chase Field.
Money is what we talk about. We're Money Radio 1510, KFNN Mesa Phoenix, and 99.3 FM K257.